The Aluminum Company of North Carolina is proud to sponsor Kane's Corner with Adam Gold.
Jordan Stahl does what he does, wins the opening faceoff. Carolina trying to get this puck into the Blue Jacket zone. Good work there by Sean Corrali. Carolina, unfazed, will move it in. Special cup shoots, he scores! Welcome back! That's the way to feel better. Carolina up 1-0, 17 seconds into this one. Andrei Svechnikov. Burns will get it back to Teravainen. Teravainen will turn. Tight turn for Teravainen. Gets it to Gensel. Oh, they score! Tic-tac-toe! Power play goal, Carolina! Sebastian Aho, red-hocked!
What a pass from Jake Gensel on the bumper.
Nicias, who's going to take advantage on front, and couldn't settle it down, and Subban got in front of that as Carolina tried to take advantage of Severson falling to the ice. Now another chance, a shot, they'll score! Teravainen from the circle! Carolina hemmed him in, and Teravainen's 22nd of the year makes it 3-0.
This is Kane's Corner with Adam Gold, a production of 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
And welcome to the Kane's Corner podcast. I am Adam Gold. Thank you very much for spending this time with us, with you, with all your best Kaniac friends. And we are brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. On Hamlin Road in Durham, no place like it. Sammy Hannon and his crew do a great job. You should check them out. For all of your exterior home improvement needs, aluminumcompany.com. So as it says on the, the title of this, the final home Kane's Corner podcast of the season. Well, normally I would be at PNC Arena right now. Heck, normally we'd probably be halfway done through the sucker. But, man, we just got back from Phoenix watching State had a chance against Purdue. So a little bit of a business decision today to take in the third and the last home game from home. So home. Home game of the season. Next four games are on the road as the Hurricanes will finish in Boston through St. Louis, Chicago, and then into Columbus. And by this time next Tuesday, we are done with the regular season, and it is on to bigger and better and hopefully many playoff games. You want to get up into the 20s. You get into the 20s, it means you're in the Stanley Cup final. Well, theoretically, 21. You could play 21 games without getting to a Stanley Cup final. Let's hope the Hurricanes don't need seven games to win each of their three series. But if it takes seven games to do it, you do it. Maximum of 28 games remain after these four. Gosh, it seems like a lot, doesn't it? That's why it's the toughest trophy to win. All right, let's get to it. Certainly, I should be better than I was the other day, Friday in Phoenix where I was laboring. I'm about 50% better, but it's not awesome, but I'm also not dying. So that's good too. All right, let's get to it. Let's start with, and I know there are some comments here that I'm going to get to, and I'll probably try to work in the comments throughout. So let's just start. I forget who asked. Maybe Freddie was off in Boston or against Boston on Thursday night. The opposite. I thought Freddie was awesome against Boston. I would love for you to tell me which of the goals he was supposed to stop. I thought Anderson was the only reason they had a chance. They gave up three first period goals. None of them were on him. It was just a total defensive mess. And Anderson made so many good saves that actually gave him a chance. I was impressed. I thought Anderson played really well. And I thought Kochetkov played really well yesterday, or Friday rather, and he gave up two goals in the first period. Neither of those were on him. If anything, they were on two defensemen. But they really were on Alexander Ovechkin. The guy is the greatest goal scorer we've ever seen, so we just got to go, sometimes he gets you. And he got the Hurricanes last night, or Friday night. But Hurricanes came back and won. Kochetkov was very good. Man, we're at a time where if you don't have confidence in what you've seen already, you'll never have confidence in goaltending. Because Anderson has been lights out. Here's Anderson, who has now played 10 games since returning. 10 starts, 9-1-0, 9.53 save percentage. That's Freddie Anderson. 3 shutouts in his 10 starts. Now, here's where I deviate and say, who did the stars of the game in the building? Come on! Who did the stars in the building? No offense. Freddie was in a rocking chair. Just in a rocking chair. He didn't have to do anything. He did make a couple of good saves. I'm not knocking that. But first star? Like, if you wanted to give Freddie third star, I'm here for that. I'm here for that. He wasn't one of my 3 stars. I'm not saying he played bad. I thought he played really well. But, come on, he wasn't the best player in the game. Best player in the game wore number 86 tonight. Let's give the man his due. Plus, stole my joke, and then Rod used it too. What has my joke been? Can't put Teravainen and Kuznetsov on the same line because all they'll do is pass the puck back and forth to each other. And Tabo went and stole it in the postgame. And then Rod went, he's smart. He knows somebody has to shoot the puck. That's what Natchez is there for. That's what Natchez is there for. So, Freddie's been amazing, and Kochetkov has been, for the most part, also amazing, and a position that we all believed was, I mean, the problem 4 months ago is not a problem at all. It's not even close to a problem. Carolina will go into this postseason with better answers in goal than almost every team. The teams that will feel better about their goaltending than Carolina, Winnipeg, Vancouver, maybe, the Rangers, based on history, and maybe Boston. Nobody, I don't think anybody else has better goaltending than Carolina right now. I mean, Anderson and Kochetkov have been a top 5 NHL tandem for the last, oh gosh, well, since Anderson came back, but Kochetkov's been excellent since that game in Ottawa. We keep using that. That's the break. That's the line. Everything that happened after that, Kochetkov's been dynamite. Has he had some bad games? Yeah, everybody has. Everybody's had some bad games. I've seen Andrei Vasilevskiy give up 7 goals this year. So, Carolina's goaltending, I'm not saying it's better than Tampa's. I'm not saying it's better than the Islanders. But their goaltending right now, I mean, it's hard to trust anybody's goaltending really significantly more so than the Hurricanes. Freddie's been great. We'll see Kochetkov, I'm sure, on Tuesday in Boston. It'll be interesting to see if Rod doesn't go to Anderson again. We'll find out 2 things. And honestly, we might not find out anything. Because he may just go, yeah, we're rotating. Piotr's turn. And if he goes with Piotr, that doesn't mean that Freddie's not going to be game one. I think Freddie will be game one now. I've completely flipped on that. But I wouldn't be shocked if Rod tells you if he starts Freddie, it means that in his mind the game matters. And I think it should matter. If you beat Boston on Tuesday, you have a chance to tie them and then be ahead of them if you meet them in the conference finals. Which I'd rather play a game 7 in Raleigh than I would at TD Bank Garden. That's just me. All right, let's get to some other players here. And by the way, we don't need Kaniak on Kaniak crime. Don't argue. Don't argue in there. So let's start here. and we'll use the number 17 as a guide. Hey, isn't it convenient? The head coach has number 17 in the rafters, right? 17 seconds in, Andrei Svechnikov. First goal in his last 11 games. He had a 10-game goal drought, missed the game. So it had been 11 Hurricanes games since we had last seen Andrei Svechnikov score a goal. And as a bonus, there was a goalie in the way. So go Andrei. And the Hurricanes had a 1-0 lead 17 seconds in. Interesting to see if Rod decides to leave Svechnikov with Staal and Martinuk. I don't think he will. But I don't think it's bad because it forces Andrei to simplify his game. It forces it. And if you get Andrei playing a simple game, I think you're just in better shape. So I am team whatever needs to get Andrei playing a very simple, direct game where he's not doing silly things, and it might be a bad influence for him to be with Kuznetsov and Natchez, because that line together was a defensive disaster. Teravainen with Kuznetsov and Natchez has been pretty good. A lot of that is Teuvo Teravainen knows what he's doing. Not that the other two guys don't, but they play a certain way. And Teravainen understands the way they play, and he's creative offensively too. But Teravainen is defensively responsible, whereas Andrei really isn't. And you're going to need defensive responsibility when you're playing with those two guys. Not that they are incapable of being defensive players. I think they both have their moments, and I thought Natchez was very good tonight in the defensive zone. He had the back check that negated a scoring chance. I think it was Justin Danforth, who might have had all of Columbus's best chances. But it was Natchez getting back. Natchez blocking a shot already in a 3-0 game. So I was impressed with number 88 tonight. I didn't give one of my stars, but I thought he was a very good player. So Svechnikov playing with Staal and Martinuk kind of works. And it was good to see Andrei, 17 seconds in, get the first goal. For a couple of reasons. One, Andrei needed a goal. He needed a goal. He needed to play well. It's not like he's played really poorly of late. So there's two things that jumped out to me about Andrei. One, the goal. And two, there were opportunities tonight where Andrei could have retaliated and did not. Thank you. Thank you, Andrei. Progress. Incidentally, Seth Jarvis did retaliate after a clean check, and he went to the penalty box. Seth, don't catch Andrei disease. Don't do that. The worst thing you can do is retaliate for a good check. They're not putting somebody in the penalty box after a good check. So don't get so frustrated that you lash out and you put yourself in the box because you're going alone. Andrei, good first game back. And I understand the cynicism out there because I'm not going to lie. When I found out that Andrei was ill, before the game on Friday night, I thought, well, convenient, huh? Andrei, in other situations, might have been healthy scratched. Here's what we know about the head coach. It's not what he does. It isn't what he does. He does not, it's like punishing kids with food, you know, with food or denying them food to punish them. Don't do it. You don't use food as a weapon. The head coach does not use your ability to get on the ice as a weapon. Now, we have seen it already this year. He will limit your ice time in a game, and he's done that with Andrei. He has absolutely done that with Svechnikov this year, but not a ton. And it's here. The other part is that Rod looks at his roster, and he goes, this is what I need from all of these guys. And Andre, certainly this team is much more offensively capable than they have been in the past. But you're still not going to go all the way without Andrei Svechnikov. So Rod needs him to be in the mix. And tonight was a great start to getting back to that. Now, tonight won't matter if he doesn't look good against Boston, St. Louis, Chicago, Columbus. So we need to get Andre going to the point where it looks similar to what it did tonight. All right, next. Sebastian Aho, 10th goal in his last 12 games. Might be a misprint, I don't know. 10th goal in his last 12 games. He's got 19 points in those 12 games. I mean, we've always known he's good. Nobody's denying that Andre's good, but Andre has taken his game to another place. He's raised it up a level. And you know what? I think there's another level for him to get to. I don't know if he'll get to it in this postseason. But I think there is another level for him to get to. And this is where the next guy I'm going to bring up comes into comes into the equation. Jake Guentzel has 21 points in 14 games with the Hurricanes. So what is that? That's a point and a half a game. 21 in 14. Not a coincidence, right? I think that the Aho-Guentzel combination, and Jarvis fits very well on that line, but it doesn't have to be him. You can move Guentzel to the right and put Svechnikov back on the left if you get Andre playing the way he's supposed to play. And Andre could provide a physical body there, and you could always put Jarvis back with Staal and Martinook if you want to do that. Rod has options. Isn't that great? But Aho and Guentzel seem to fit really well. And if you somehow could re-sign Guentzel, this will be the best offensive player, the best goal scorer that Aho's ever played with. And if you get those two guys together, I mean, you could see Sebastian approach 100 points. I don't know about what Guentzel's potential is, but Guentzel's a pure goal scorer. And look what he has done over his career with Sidney Crosby. He's been in the 80 range, right? So he could be there too. But Aho, man, and the way he's winning faceoffs now, is like a 55% faceoff guy. There's no drawback to Sebastian Aho's game, except he still goes through little dips. Here's the six games, the three assists, right? Still want to get that out of his game, and there are nights where he's not super noticeable. You know, that never happens with McDavid or Matthews or McKinnon, but Aho's not those guys. Those guys are those guys, but there's another group. There's a second group of star. And that's where Sebastian is. And he could go, he could get to the top of that group if he's playing with a guy like Guentzel. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. He could be playing with Svechnikov if Andre can put it all together. So we're waiting for that to happen. It is year six. Granted, it's never going to be an automatic. But more like what we saw tonight from Andre would be better. All right. Power play, 1 out of 4. That's a really good night, 1 out of 4. It actually is below their average, and they're now 6 for their last 15, which is still, 40% over the last 6 games. But they could have scored more than one power play goal tonight. They had a lot of good looks on the power play. I thought there were some blocked shots. There were some missed nets. There was a pipe, but the Hurricanes did a good job of the power play tonight. They score right 17 seconds in. That was the number tonight. Play that number. Aho scored 17 seconds into the first power play. Great play by Teravainen to circle around and create space. All of a sudden, it opens up in the middle of the ice for Gensel. Pass wasn't perfect to Jake, but he got it out of his skates, got it over to Aho, boom, one-timer, and it's 2-0. So, really, Teravainen makes the play. He was my first star, by the way. Teravainen 1, Slavin 2, Aho 3. Again, Aho had a total complete game. Penalty kill, only had to kill off one. Wait a second, the Hurricanes got 4 power plays, and the Blue Jackets only got 1? What is this sorcery? Yeah, we had slipped back into that phase where the Hurricanes get fewer power plays than the team they're playing. But the penalty kill was 1-for-1. There are now 19 for their last 19, and if you, even if you include the 3 out of 6 against the Capitals in D.C., which is now about 3 weeks ago, they are 46 out of 49. No, actually, well, no, it's 49 out of 52. 49 out of 52. That's pretty good. It's about 95% over the last 20 games or so. That's why you have the number one penalty kill. I talked to Tripp about this. Keep saying it. I'll keep speaking it into existence. You give me the option between a great power play and a great penalty kill in the postseason, give me the great penalty kill every single time. The one thing you can't do if you're the Hurricanes is get beat in special teams. You don't have to win it. You just can't get beat. And so far this year, Carolina is doing more than not getting beaten. The combined percentages going into today, 113.4%. If you added up the two percentages, and the power play probably dipped slightly, and the PK going 1-for-1 probably raised a hair, but it probably stays about the same, 113.4%. If it could be in the 105, anywhere from 105 to 110, you're among the best. 113.4 is the best in the NHL. So you've got Aho, you've got Gensel, you got Svechnikov back. Teuvo Teravainen was excellent again tonight. And I used this phrase with him last year as he was going through a difficult season. And then at the end of the season, where we were hoping that we were starting to see signs that Teravainen was going to come back and be the player he's always, you know, always been for this franchise, he gets hurt. Jean-Gabriel Pageau slashes him on the wrist, breaks his thumb, and we don't see him again until, you know, basically the Florida series, which he shouldn't have come back for because he wasn't very good in that series because he was compromised. But Teravainen is a key to unlock so many things, like what he does on the power play, what he does for the penalty kill, and if he ever gets to play with Aho and Gensel, what he'll do for that line. I guess another option that Rod has, any of their three other scoring wingers would go well with Aho and Gensel. Whether you put Jarvis on the right, Svechnikov on the left, Teravainen, preferably on the right, because I think he's better on the right side, although it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, any one of those guys, that line should cook. But Teuvo Teravainen looking like the Teuvo Teravainen, so important. So, another good thing that I saw tonight was the return of Teuvo Teravainen. Not, I mean, he's been playing, but I think we're now the last few games we're seeing vintage Turbo. All right, real quick on the lines. Obviously, nothing is going to happen with the top line. Although, as I floated the idea, the Jarvis spot can be fluid. I think Aho and Gensel are together. I think the Jarvis spot could be fluid. You could end up seeing Svechnikov there. You could see Teravainen there. Natchez and Kuznetsov, I think, would stay together. I kind of dig Teravainen on the left side of that line. I think Andre creates too much of a headache for the head coach. I think Teravainen really settles it down. And personally, I like the Staal, Martinuk, Foss trio reunited for the postseason. But it doesn't have to be. And if you're going to use Drury, Nason, Foss as a fourth line, then it might work better that way. But personally, I'd use it as a scoring line. And I'd put a scoring, another scoring element with Drury and Nason. So whether it's Andre or Teravainen or Jarvis, it's hard to say, hard to even believe you would consider putting Jarvis on a fourth line. But that's not the way I'd look at it. I'd look at it as a scoring line. Jarvis is going to get plenty of ice time as killing penalties and on power plays, but Seth's one of your best players, and you probably want him near 20 minutes a night. So maybe he stays right where he is. And again, the fact that he's a 200-foot player just makes everything in Rod Brind'Amour's world as it pertains to finding combinations that work. If he knows you can play in all three areas, I mean, it's amazing. All right. Well, just one quick thing, and then we'll wrap it up on a jet lag Sunday. Came back last night. We were on a 10:50 flight out of Phoenix Airport, whatever the Phoenix Airport is called. Got into RDU at 8:40 this morning. So it's been one of those days. Scott Morrow, available. And Rod told me the other day that, yeah, he's probably going to get him into a couple of games because you never know if he's going to have to play. Morrow is part of their depth going into the postseason. So right now Carolina's got six guys. Wow. Right? Six guys in the blue line that play, that have played. They've been fortunate, right? Especially to some of the key guys haven't gotten hurt. They've survived some issues with Brett Pesce. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave him a couple of games off. He's the guy that I'm always worried about physically. Dmitry Orlov has played better and better and better, and if you see his ice time creeping up and up and up and up, pretty close to 18 minutes a game. Over the last, month or so. Even Jalen Chatfield's ice time has gone up. Part of that is Rod's wanting to manage Slavin and Shea and Burns and Pesce. So they're not so exposed on the back end. Keep them more fresh when we get to the postseason. So Orlov and Chatfield play more. Also, I found it interesting that Orlov and Chatfield play a lot with Staal, Gensel, and Jarvis. And that's Rod saying, I trust the forwards defensively to have my third defensive pair on the ice. Of course, Rod looks at his third defensive pair and says, why wouldn't I trust them? The beauty of being Rod Brind'Amour. So, Morrow's going to be one of the, he's the eighth defenseman behind Tony DeAngelo. Now, my guess is that D'Angelo's going to have to draw in a couple of games here, too. And you might see both of them. Maybe they don't play together because they're both righties. Tony could probably play his offside. Maybe Scott could play his offside. I don't know. But I'm not sure Rod's going to want that for a guy making his NHL debut. They signed Bradley Nadeau. Their first-round pick this past year went to Maine. Had a monster season in Maine. A little undersized, but got a great shot. I don't know. Maybe you'll see him get a game here or there. Remember, Carolina is now carrying two extra forwards. So maybe, that game in Chicago. Maybe the last game in Columbus. You'll see Nadeau get in. Jackson Blake is here. And the rumor is that Jackson Blake is going to be the next one to sign an entry-level deal. This is really greasing the wheels for next year as much as anything, because I think they're going to give all of those kids a chance to make the team. one quick thing about next year, and then we're out of here for tonight. I think when you get to training camp in the summer, I think there will be veterans that that Carolina can use, and there will be rookies that they hope will make the team. Whether it's Morrow, Nadeau, Blake, I don't know about other guys. Whether it's those guys or somebody else, who knows? But I think Rod is going to leave it. I think they're going to hope that they get one or two, who knows, maybe three guys that can push for a spot. Because if that happens, it frees up a lot of other things. So when I say a lot of other things, that means money. Isn't that nice? All right, good win. Wish they would have scored more goals. The only downside was that Carolina didn't get four or five or six on the board because they could have pretty easily. And we're off until Tuesday when the Hurricanes are in Boston. It's the last game against the playoff team Carolina will play until the playoffs. But it's important because Boston is one of somebody that if the Hurricanes can win this game, they can still end up finishing ahead of them and host a, you know, have the home ice advantage in a series against the Bruins. Couple of quick scores. Rangers have taken the lead on the Canadiens or in the third period. New York's going to win that. Devils are leading the Predators. Nobody cares. Red Wings beat the Sabres. The Senators won in overtime in Washington. So here's how it looks in the playoffs, in the playoff race, with four or five games to play. Rangers are going to be at 110 points with four games to play. Ultimately, their magic number is three with a five-point cushion. Any combination of 3 points the Rangers get and three the Hurricanes don't, and the division is automatically theirs. You're not catching the Rangers. Boston's at 107 points, so Boston is with 78 games played. So Boston is 2 points ahead of Carolina. Carolina goes to Boston on Tuesday and wins that game in regulation. Now you're even with three games left to play. You're already ahead of Florida, 3 points ahead of Florida. So pull something out of the game in Boston. Even if you don't catch the Bruins, you stand a good chance of staying ahead of Florida. Toronto's going to be the third team in that division because they have a game in hand and a four-point lead on Tampa. Tampa's going to be wild card one. And then wild card two is going to come from this group. The Islanders, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Washington, and Detroit. Now, one of those teams not named Detroit is also going to finish third in the division and will be Carolina's matchup in the first round of the playoffs. And right now, it's the Islanders. Hey, who says no? Who says no to that? That's a series that Carolina should win. It's not a guarantee. There are no guarantees. But that's a good matchup. It will get Carolina's attention right away. And look, we did it last year. We've done it. This would be the third playoff series in the 6 years of the Rod Brindamore era. I'm here for that. I'm here for it. It'll be fun. Plus, I get to talk to my guy Mike every day during the playoffs. Pittsburgh, let's see, Washington, Detroit is at 84 points. So is Washington. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are both at 83. The Islanders are at 85. So here's those five teams fighting it out for a wild card spot and as well the third spot in the Metro. Islanders, 85. Washington and Detroit, 84. I'm sorry, Washington's on 83. My fault. Detroit has 84. Washington, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia all with 83. Wow. We're going to have a fun final 10 days of the regular season. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hannon and Screw do a great job. Check them out for all of your home exterior improvement needs. And until Tuesday night, after the Canes beat the Bruins, I'm Adam. Subscribe, like, review, rate, tell your friends, pass it on. It's the Canes Corner podcast. We're here after every Hurricanes game. And sometimes we do this.
Good work there by Sean Corrali. Carolina, unfazed, won't move it in. Special cut shoots. He scores!
Welcome yes, he does.
Back. That's the way to feel better. Carolina, up 1-0. 17 seconds into this one. Andre Svechnikov.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold. Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do. The Canes Corner Podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.